Good.
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to tonight, March 6, 2023 City Council meeting. You'd all please rise for a short private invocation asking for God's blessing upon this city and wisdom as our City Council makes its decisions tonight. And then if you'll please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item 1D on our agenda tonight is citizen input. Is there any member of the public who would like to address the City Council? Please raise your hand and I'll allow you up to 5 minutes to address the council. Okay. Hearing none, I'll go to roll call. And tonight, Council Member John Erickson had asked to be excused. He had some family things going on. So I'd entertain a motion to excuse John Erickson from our meeting tonight.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now we'll move to item 2, which is the approval of tonight's agenda.
I make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Let's go to our consent agenda, item 3.
I'll make the motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now as we move to our current business, 4A is the 25th annual Othello Spring Cleanup Days proclamation. I'm going to read a proclamation. Whereas the city in conjunction with Adams County Transfer Station, Consolidated Disposal Services, Inc., Bob Boersma, LLC, we might need to update that. Oscar's Towing, volunteers and citizens will join together to beautify the city. And whereas the city encourages our residents to dispose of old junk vehicles, appliances, yard debris, and yard vegetation in an effort to improve the appearance of the community. And whereas students from our schools are encouraged to help clean up areas around their schools, and citizens are encouraged to pick up litter when they're out on walks around the city. Now, therefore, I do hereby designate the week of April 3rd through April 8th, 2023 is the 25th annual Othello Spring Cleanup Days. And I urge our citizens, civic clubs, and organizations to join together to make Othello a more attractive and friendly place to visit and to live. Signed this 6th day of March, 2023. Now, I'd like to move along in our agenda to item 4B, which is the mail stuffer for utility billing. And our finance officer, Spencer Williams, has a report for the City Council.
Thank you very much, Mayor and Council. I have a quick item for you tonight. What I have up here on the screen is, we call it a mail stuffer. This machine that we use every month when we're sending out the utility bills up to all the customers, about 2,000, a little over, maybe 2,500 a month that we send out. But this is the machine where we have the envelopes on one side and all the utility bills on the other side and any other inserts that we may have, and it folds and that's all the envelope. The machine that we have right now is old. I believe it's the same machine that we've had for more than 10 years, which is, I think they only have a 5-year lifespan. It's old. So we have a new machine here. It's 17,000-ish plus tax and put together. So the new machine would be just 16,881 to purchase the new machine plus tax. And then this cost would be split over water, sewer, garbage, the three utility funds equally among those three funds. And it's just time. Our machine is old. We need new one. So my recommendation to council is that, so we don't have budget for it, or we didn't budget for it. This would be about $6,000 for each one of those three funds. And we'll put that in the budget. Maybe do a budget amendment. But that's the machine. And it's our recommendation that council approve the city staff to make this purchase.
Which was done through a state bid co-op.
It was through a co-op, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
When we first came on council and you became mayor, we bought this. Because this was the one we bought. The one you
was
did.
It?
Yep.
Yeah.
That was 9 years ago.
Yep. We're in our 10th year now.
It's been a long time. We should have replaced it a couple years ago, really.
It was good 10 years, almost 10 years out of a 5 year lifespan. I remember it's pretty now. I remember buying it.
Yeah. So we're going on our second machine, John.
Yep. That's what we need to run the operation.
Well, we keep adding population, we get more envelopes of stuff.
Envelope stuffer.
I'll second that motion.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Mayor Pro Tem John Lawless and the committee met with the police department over several items. This was one of them. These are the union negotiating committee, and our police chief, Bill Shank, is going to give basically a summary of that and conclusion of that meeting.
Thank you, Mayor. So I've actually got a motion put together for council to consider. We met with the law enforcement committee. The union brought to our attention that we had overpaid the sergeants $36 a month for a period of 3 years. Pretty insignificant amount of money, but it's not money we can just ignore because it was in excess of what the union contract authorized. The new union contract that was just negotiated with them is actually based off the correct numbers, so the problem won't continue into the future. But what we put together is the supporting documentation. The committee supported it. But we'd like to recommend that the council move to forgive the $3,700 total, approximately. It's about $3,734. But to forgive that and not actually seek to collect that from these employees. And I think it would require a motion from the council, and then that would be able to use a supporting documentation that the auditors would ask.
That $3,700 is a total amount.
Yes.
And it's broken up between five sergeants, right? Three that
it would have been five sergeants, three that are still here.
Yep.
No. Is it even possible to go back to the sergeant's arm there to collect that? Well, that's what's so hard about it. Why are you going to collect from these guys and not them back on? So just
send them a bill
back
for
you.
Yeah. Okay, I'll make a motion to approve the forgiveness of debt that resulted from the overpayment.
I'll second that.
Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. As we continue on, there was also another cleanup item that the committee, union negotiating committee, dealt with, and that was with regard to a new memorandum of agreement with the International Union of Operating Engineers Local Public Works Union. And Chief, you want to explain that to the rest of the council?
Thank you, Mayor. So we met, the negotiation committee met with the IUOE, There's two things that we wanted to accomplish. One is to recognize that with the new lead positions that we've created to help supervise public work on the divisions of the public works. So basically, we've created five divisions, but in one case, two of the divisions are going to be supervised by one employee. So in that case, we've offered a flat fee for any member or lead member that's actually supervising two divisions. So theoretically, this could, the way we worded it, it could be used if, for example, we had an employee supervising water and sewer. In this case, right now, it would be immediately used for the employee that would be supervising streets and parks. And so we offer $5,000 per year, prorated by month, flat fee, stipend to go as a premium paying in the contract. Now, additionally, we identified that the Public Works Union is the only bargaining unit and only group of employees within the city that aren't receiving the 2% deferred comp match that the city provides. So any employee that decides to put a portion of their salary into state deferred compensation plan, the city is actually matching that up to 2% of that employee's salary. So we offered that, you know, the city would change that language. What I've attached is an MOA, memorandum agreement, that would modify or append to the union contract to allow both of these things to happen. And our hope would be, as we move into the next negotiation 3 years from now, that we usually roll the MOAs into the next contract, so that we can keep the language or clean the language up. So we're asking for a motion for the council to approve this MOA for the mayor to sign. Teamsters has looked at it, not Teamsters, the Public Works Union, and agrees to it.
Do you have any report from the committee?
This is a good thing because, I mean, this brings them up to the 2% match, brings them up to match everybody else's contracts within the city. So
yep.
That made sense. And so did the flat $5,000 per year for the, if you're going to have to do that extra work.
Okay. We're going to hold them to it.
Mm-hmm.
So with these lead positions, people that are put into those lead positions are going to be accountable or have to be accountable to the public works director to get the work done.
Yeah.
So it's accountability.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you put informants together on your projects. And when things aren't done, you yell at the supervisor goes and sees informants, says, "What's up, guys? Angels all over my back."
Truly. Okay. Entertain a motion then.
I'll move to approve the memorandum of agreement with the International Union and Operators Engineers Local 280.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now we have some guests with us here tonight. So we move to item 4E, which is the Othello Placemaking Innovation Challenge presentation. And Amy House and Christine Gilmore are here with the infamous group RDI. but why don't you introduce yourselves and the team, please?
Okay. My name is Amy House. I'm the Director of Economic Vitality Services for Rural Development Initiatives. We're a nonprofit that works in the Pacific Northwest to support rural communities around economic vitality.
And my name is Christine Gilmore. I'm the Leadership Services Business Manager with Rural Development Initiatives. And we have a number of team members who aren't here right now because they're finishing up dinner. But we have a program manager, Marcy Miller, who is based in Moscow, Idaho, and Aquarian based as well. And then Olivia Valadares, who is our bilingual program facilitator and manager. So, Mr. Mayor, and City Council members of the City Council, thank you. Thank you for putting us on your agenda at last week. Thank you to Anne for accommodating us. And we're excited to be here today. We have spent the last 8 hours here in Osceola, having great conversations with people, visiting some of your local establishments, and really just seeing all of the fabulous resources and assets that this community has to offer. The reason we're here today is to talk about Rural Placemaking Innovation Challenge Grant. This is a cooperative agreement with USDA Rural Development, and we're really happy to share that it's one of 17 grants that have been granted nationwide to Osceola, and in order to really build placemaking in this region. RDI has been working in this region for the last 5 years or so, started with the Food Incubator Project and the Osceola Market, working with Mary Bosch in that region, or in that service sector. Thank you. And then we started doing some research on leadership development with some funders that, hey, Adams County, Osceola, you should go here. So we did have fabulous meetings with the mayor and other community members, and ended up here with the Rural Placemaking Innovation Challenge Grant. And that's kind of why we're here, so it's what this is, and Amy's gonna go through a little bit of what this looks like.
Yeah, so we have a slide up here that kind of lays out the components of what this, what the USDA is going to support. So you'll see the first bubble is placemaking plan and vision and placemaking learning tour. And what this is, it's really about reaching out to a wide group of people in the community to understand how they want to see your community in the future. So, you know, what their vision is, what they, you know, what would encourage you to want to stay here, for example. You know, how do they want to be involved in seeing this all unfold? So that's kind of the first part. It includes a placemaking learning tour. So the first step is a survey to kind of understand the broad themes of what people are, what they prioritize. There will be a placemaking learning tour that enables a selection of people from this other communities that have success stories. And so what we anticipate from this first level is that people will really be able to envision what a future for the fellow might be that they want to be part of, and it will encourage participation, and it will identify areas of shared interest. The second two bubbles, the green ones, new and diverse small businesses and new and diverse local leaders. These are two capacity building programs. So the new and diverse local leaders, this is a leadership program that will take a cohort of people, probably focused on young people, around building community leadership skills. Our leadership program focuses not so much on individual skills, but very much on how communities can, people in communities can work together to get things done. So we'll build off the placemaking or the vision, which will articulate some your priority areas and next steps, and then it will build the capacity of people to actually move those forward. The new and diverse small businesses, there are two entrepreneurship programs that will take place. One is focused on food businesses, and this training will be delivered in Spanish. So it's really to train people like how you take an idea for a product and take it to market, what does it take to be in business? It will cover basics of how to start that business. The other piece of the new diverse small businesses is a entrepreneurship program for youth. And so this will give you the opportunity to explore the idea of entrepreneurship, and again, like maybe give people this sense of, oh, you know what, if I could start a business and I could stay in this community, like I can, you know, I'm better equipped to have these greater options that would enable me to continue to live and have interesting and exciting possibilities for my career in Osceola. And then finally, there's the funding and implementing local projects. Part of this. We will also be offering or providing a training on fundraising. So this will build capacity of people to be able to access resources. And then we will be providing support to write some grants, as well as we have identified funders who will fund small projects. So this will give people the chance to kind of exercise those, leadership skills of being able to actually put this plan into action and it will give provide small amount of funding to actually do trial projects. And so there will be some kind of immediate results in terms of seeing things on the ground.
So when you say funding small projects, are you talking about private projects?
This would be projects that would come out of that, either out of the vision that's going to develop from this process, or it would be from the leadership cohort. So projects that we've experienced in the past might include, a good one is the Blackboard. So in the community of Milton Freewater, the leadership group decided to spend, I think it's like that they're supposed to fund a $10,000. With part of that money, they got these blackboards and they put them up in different locations around town to give people the chance to interact and express their, enliven the public space, interact with each other, express what their interests is in the community.
And one of their priorities with this project is Milton Freewater has a ton of graffiti. And so instead of being in a punitive space of like, we're going to cover all the graffiti up, they were trying to be inclusive of graffiti artists. And so, but that was determined through the cohort that themselves. And it wasn't us coming and saying, here are the things that you could focus your project on. But it was through kind of a visioning plan throughout the cohort is figuring out what their priorities are, where do they want to have their spend their energy, and what's important to them and their community. And they do that through interviews, but these are the projects themselves would be things that align with the placemaking vision that is put together through community input and through outreach and ideas that are brought to city council or from city council, like ways to move the community forward. Does that answer your question a little bit?
Yeah. Somewhat explains it. I'm just thinking in my mind, how do we promote this town is hurting for places to go eat, period. We got two restaurants left in town. And if the city was able to take, property that we owned or purchase property and put together a taco truck location. They do it down in big cities in Portland and stuff. There's locations that the city allows the truck
food court.
Food truck court type deal. If we put something together in a location within the city and could seek funding to get electrical and gas and stuff like that established in those places, so those guys could go there, set up, have outdoor, picnic tables with covers over them or something.
Basically be in business incubator until they can move on to a brick and mortar.
We have worked on many community projects like that. So this is the nature of what I think would emerge from this plan and vision process. That's exactly the type of thing that we imagine that we could see emerging. Obviously, we're not going to say what it is because we need to... the community is going to, community outreach will figure that out.
And that's a great segue for our next one.
Okay.
Like Amy was saying, when we started this project, we went through a ton of one-on-one meetings. When I came here about a year ago, we were specific to the leadership program, but then this opportunity to expand the service, to expand the scope of leadership and entrepreneurship and visioning and really building capacity of this great community. Through interviews, themes started to emerge. So youth engagement, Latino engagement, youth and Latino entrepreneurship, broadband access. So these themes started to emerge, but that was through the first conversation. And one thing that we want to highlight throughout the whole thing is this project is for this community. And so making sure that there is high participation from the community engagement. So, and we're doing that through these three different, so you'll see on the screen, the community engagement piece about building skills and getting people, elevating people up. And the three teams that we have here are one way that we hope to do this. The implementation team is RDI and partners. So we are kind of going to be help guide and shift, making sure that you have the resources you need, help facilitate meetings, pulling people together, focus groups,
you know, the good, the fun step for us
offering the training.
Offering the training, that's right. The next piece we have here is the planning team. And these are members of your community who will volunteer or have volunteered to say, I want to be highly involved in this. And I want to be a part of it. I want to be at the meetings. I want to help be on boots on the ground and making sure that we're pulling people in throughout the whole way through. And really engaging and centering the community and listening to what the community is saying and what is needed. And the last piece of this particular puzzle is the advisory team. And these are people who may not have the same capacity as part of the planning team and meet once a month and just really kind of have the bird's eye view of what's happening in the community. Maybe they're regional, somebody who can throw an example out there, not that this is one, but maybe somebody from Avista who's serving regionally and can bring in perspective, or the Anovia Foundation, who's a funder in this region. Or maybe it's even the mayor or one of you may see yourself on there. It's like, I want to be involved, but my capacity is so limited because you live in a rural community. So, and we do hope that all one of you or all of you see yourself involved in this, that there are other ways to be involved, like attending a training, attending the focus group. But we wanted to start by just presenting this information to you, and I recognize I just threw 2 years worth of work at you in 5 minutes. And so I hope that this provides you some overview of what we anticipate to do over the next 2 years. Lastly.
Yeah. And I mean, just to clarify, so we are at the beginning of a 2 year process.
Okay.
We're just starting to convene these teams. That's why we're here today. We've met with a number of different stakeholders, and we're inviting people as we talk to them to join the planning committee. There's currently approximately a once-a-month meeting commitment for the advisory team, which is more like a once-a-quarter commitment. And then, yeah, why don't you go ahead and... but we've listed here the partners and funders that are committed to this work. And I will just say, with USDA, this is a cooperative agreement with RDI and not a grant. And what that means is that the USDA has an interest in being heavily involved. So they will be able, we invite them to all the meetings. We invited them to come here today. And our representative is Tim O'Connell. He's based in the Northwest, yes, Swim. And the reason that they're interested in this is that they see this project and the RPIC, it's called RPIC for Rural Placemaking
Innovation
Challenge. The reason that they want this involvement is that they see this project as a way to understand the needs of the community, and therefore they see they want to see where they can, you know, help communities and support them through their funding streams and through connecting to other funding streams. So they will have an eye on Othello for the next couple of years and a strong interest in what happens here and what emerges from this.
The last thing I would add is we're very excited to be a part of this project and to be visiting here. And it's just really lovely community, and everybody we've met has just been so gracious and so warm and welcoming. And the food has been great, of course. But what I would emphasize here is this project, this program, is not here to change your community in any aspect, but just to elevate and strengthen the local resources and assets that you already have.
And then a final note is that the City of Othello and Adams County Development Council are matching this with time of their staff. And so it's really thank you. Inovia, Columbia Bank, and Avista are supporting with some of these small grants that will go towards projects at the end of the program, and then RDI helps us. And then for Reinventing Rural does the youth training, and Partners for Rural Washington will do some of the fundraising or the funding stuff at the end of the program.
And I believe in your packet, is there infographic? The first page, not that one. But this is a little bit about RDI and who we serve. And then
what we just talked you through and kind of that bubble graphic that you saw is this one sheet here, and it kind of gives you a little bit more at a glance what's happening over there. Sometimes we're happy to stand for questions. I recognize that we just threw a lot of information at you. So thank you again.
I have a question for you. So back on your first slide, where it was the new and diverse small business, that bubble.
Yeah.
You said you're providing that information in Spanish. Are you also going to be providing the information in that English or just Spanish?
So there's we have two specific courses, and one is the food business training that is all in Spanish. So it's just the Spanish.
Why isn't it in both rather than just?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. So our experience has been that with this for business support services, there are generally a much larger gap for Spanish speakers to access business support services than English speakers. That's not true everywhere, and I don't precisely know what business support services are available here. But as an attempt to fill that gap, we have developed that course, and we don't currently have one in English.
So on the second one too, there you said that you kept emphasizing Latinos and youth Latinos. Is that only what you're going to be focusing on?
No, we're like youth is general for SWFN. Yeah, youth is general. And really, I think the only thing that is Latino specific is the food business training.
I don't understand why you're doing anything here Latino specific.
What I would say to that is it's just the priority that we're emerging through our interviews with people is this need for Latino support, Latino engagement, and that's where the kind of the conversations led us. But I absolutely hear the need of it's not just Latino specific, but this is a whole community.
It's 90% or better Latino community, period. That's what we live in. So if you wanted to diversify this community, then you would bring something else in here other than Latino.
Right. I don't think our intention is to do anything in terms of, like, our intention isn't to diversify. Like, we don't, you know, your community is what it is. But basically, we designed this program in response to a lot of what we heard on the ground. And so that's why we incorporated that Spanish language program for the
students. So for about a year prior to even getting to this point, RDI came and met with quite a few different types of business leaders and centers of influence in the community. And they compiled this list, and I was one of the of all of our concerns, our vision, our dreams, what you know, what we wanted to see, what we were seeing now that could change. And youth was huge on the list, huge, which is why it's one of the biggest focuses for us. And two is not trying to diversify, but to focus on what is the now, right? What is the present now? What's that percentage?
39%
youth. 39% youth. And of that 39%, like how many are Latin? So it's not to not include other ethnicities or races, but it's what's here currently. And how do we give them opportunity as well to do something outside of only working in the field or only working at the warehouses or the plants? Like, what can we do different than what we're doing now? So everyone's welcome. Everyone's welcome to join the program. There's going to be a grant writing program. There's going to be leadership training. There's going to be training in regards to business entrepreneurship. It's not limited to the Latin community, but there is going to be a program for those that are primarily Spanish speaking. Does that make sense? Did that help?
I don't agree one bit whatsoever with only providing something to the community in Spanish. I'm sorry. You know, we've got over 50% of the population doesn't speak Spanish here at all. And another what do we have? What's the population in this town that only speaks Spanish? So we're 80, say we're 80% Hispanic, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hold on. But if you take our kids, for example, my grandkids, I got 11 grandkids. None of them speak Spanish. So if you're going to go into the youth department, I mean.
See, and that right there, what you just said is what I'm getting at. You're automatically locking out a very, very
low percentage. I was going to speak up to that a little bit.
But these programs are not just limited to youth. It's not, you know, we're not just focused on ninth grade to 12th grade. Like some of these programs, it's my understanding, young adult, correct? Like outside of high school.
The youth program is not in Spanish. The youth program is in English. The youth entrepreneurship program is in English.
Correct.
And it's open to, you know, the youth that the community chooses to go through this program.
And our leadership program is in English as well.
And the fundraising program in English. So it's the only the food business training that is in Spanish.
I think just to clarify too, because you did mention it, but I'm going to say it a little different way. This is all of these ideas and strategies and plans for Othello today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, 5 years, 10 years or longer. All those directions and input is going to come from inside this community. They're basically the facilitators. They're just making sure that whoever invested in this grant to enable them to come, all they're going to do is steward over it to make sure that we go through a process, we identify what it is we want, we collectively as a community, what does this community want? What is this community, we could go around the dais here and we could start talking about, I want some choices in restaurants. I'd like to see a hotel here. I'd like to see a Dairy Queen here. I'd like to see some additional shopping in Othello. Those are economic things, but there's other things besides economic that create a community. There's amenities, there's art, there's culture, there's other types of things that we will find out of the people who want to participate through this process to identify what it is that they want to see Othello become, in essence. Now, all of you have ran for and been elected to office, and you have come through a process to where you have been elevated to become a community leader, decision maker, and the legislative body for this city. But as we were starting to talk about this before the meeting, who's next? And this is where the question that we've often asked ourselves, because the things that we've seen, like in our civic clubs, like the Lions Club, is dwindling to next to nothing. The Rotary Club has.
I found this on the web.
The Rotary Club has an aging population. Yeah.
They're not getting the youth into those clubs. The youth isn't engaging. The youth isn't engaging in civic matters.
Yeah, the volunteer work being done here in the community. Mm-hmm. Is all being done by the seniors.
Oh yeah.
And those seniors are getting too senior to do
ready to get out.
To do, you know, much more of the volunteer work that is being done. And nobody's stepping up. Nobody is stepping up to fill those shoes.
So I see some of it in the Chamber of Commerce. I do, but that's why the timing of this couldn't be better.
Right.
This is a process to help develop this next generation of leaders in this community.
So as part of the training in the that's only in Spanish, that's the food part of it.
That's fine. So there's four trainings total, and one of them is in Spanish.
Well, see, like, I'm kind of with Corey there, because if you drive around town, that's pretty much all we see Hispanic, but you know, Mexican food. So we need some American food, the restaurant coming in.
Some diversity.
Good breakfast in the morning. they have good breakfast, but you know, your Mexican traditional good stuff. So, and I kind of, and I'm a Hispanic. Whenever people mention we're gonna, you know, serve Hispanics only, and I'm a Hispanic, I kind of get offended a little bit for some reason. I'm just like that. So in everything that we do, it should be everybody's welcome to. So even in that food department, I think there's literature for the English as well. Because you never know, you might have somebody that's going to bring in a Denny's, a Sherry's, an entrepreneur that's going to be, you know, South major later, that might be inspired, you know, by some, you know, something like what you guys are doing.
Incredible feedback, and I really appreciate it. And I would encourage all of you to consider city, well, maybe not all of you, but other city council rules about how many people can be in a meeting. But sitting on the planning team to help inform this conversation, because again, we're going off of interviews that we saw, and maybe there's something we can pull in with working with the Small Business Development Center in the region and match this training with one that would be inclusive to all.
As Angel was saying earlier, that we're into the third generations now. Mm-hmm. There's been several, mom and dad came here, mom and dad settled, mom and dad made sure their kids had something better than what they had. You know, the immigrant way of living in the United States of America, the second generation did better. They stayed, they rooted in the community. Now their next generation, their children, are looking for the diversification. They like going to Texas Roadhouse. They like going to the Tri-Cities, where there's a selection of food and food, you know, restaurants to go and eat. And the thing is, here in Othello, we don't have that diversification anymore. We did when I first came here in the 80s. We had a lot of family-owned restaurants that were very diversified. We had a, you know, porterhouse restaurant. We had a Chinese restaurant. We had Sabalas was the Mexican restaurant, and they were great. But we had two pizza places, and we had the steakhouse, which is now the Chinese restaurant. There was so much more available than there is today.
Yeah. No, I agree. I guess I want to just say two things.
Franchises are not the way to go either.
I don't.
You know.
I guess, well, you know, I'm hearing you, and I think one thing I want to mention is that sometimes the food business training doesn't focus so much on restaurants. It's also on value-added food products that could be exported out of the region. So it's not, there's
something. Well, we got that. We've got this community is the single largest producer of French fries in the United States, or in the world, actually. There's more French fries made here in this small town in a combined effort than anywhere else.
That's great.
Anywhere else in that small of an area. With the two manufacturing facilities that we have here, they produce more French fries per day than anywhere else in the world.
So one of the things that we had a visit this afternoon, and one of the things that Arubio brought up was that in some cities, they've created a junior city council that meets once a month, and they discuss issues within the community and are kind of an advisory group, much like the Planning Commission is. And the other thing, idea that they gave, and I loved it. It said, why don't we have a city council meeting once a year or even twice a year at Othello High School? And they could see that there isn't just a mayor. The city isn't just run by the mayor, but the city, there is a city council. They can see that what it is that we do, how we discuss issues like we're discussing right now, and how we make our decisions. And it would give them a firsthand idea of what it is the Othello City Council, the mayor and the city council do. and then why those positions are important. So then once they begin to get to know what it is your role is and who you are in the community, that will inspire youth to get involved in political matters or get involved in civic matters so that they can, as you pointed out, John, all of the civic groups are dying. And one of the things that we've talked about over and over here around this dais is how, who's next? Who's going to take over? Well, they're going to take over eventually. And this is a process that I believe is going to help us take a major step towards that, towards developing who those leaders are, what the issues that they want to look at, what they feel like this community needs. And yeah, I'm sold. I'm a believer. In fact, I volunteered to be on a focus group. Danae volunteered to be on the as a community-based planning, on the community-based planning team, or a local board member, right?
Both.
And I invite any of you on the city council to participate. A focus group, maybe you could explain a little bit about a focus group and what the involvement would be.
Sure. And you see the community engagements at the top. So basically, there's kind of these three planning teams that are, or three teams that are kind of supporting the structure of this project. And then there's different opportunities for us community members to participate. And for this first process, where we're trying to understand, you know, what are community members' priorities, where they want to see the community go, we're going to, the result of that will be a vision, a statement, and an action. So some directions forward. And for that process, we're going to do a survey, which we're going to kick off very soon. And then we're going to do focus groups. So this is getting small groups of people together to talk to them about where they see what their priorities are for Othello and where they see the future and also maybe where they want to be engaged. So we're going to be conducting focus groups in probably later this month and in April and into May. So our team will be here and we'll organize a number of those.
So Amy mentioned the survey that we'll be launching, and it's a very simple survey. And what we hope will come out of there is the affirmation of the priorities that we've heard in the first interviews. But if those shift, then they shift through the survey process. And then once those priorities are outlined, that's where the focus groups will align. So if it comes out that it's around broadband, we'll start doing focus groups around broadband. If it's about youth engagement or after-school youth programs, or I'm just making up examples of what I've already heard, but it could come out with anything else to bring in a new hotel. Like, we really need hotels. There's one with a water park. So building focus groups around those specific priorities to help form ideas of what could go in those action plans. What are some local steps that we can do, that your community can do, to elevate these ideas and these actions forward.
So I want to just point out something you've already done. So you look at last year when Adam James came, the president of the food bank, and the food bank was in a deficit. But this city council decided that the food bank to the Othello is an important part of our community. And so we made a 2-year commitment to the food bank. And that's why Jose is here tonight. He's the new director of the, what's your title, Jose?
The facility manager for the Othello Food Bank.
So he's the new facility manager of the Othello Food Bank, actually not that new, but he was hired as a result of our investment, and that's going to move forward. He's also part of this visioning, but what we've done as a city council is we've funded certain things like that because we don't want to see them die in the community. And when the coronavirus money came, we allocated certain amounts to like the Riker Show House and to other businesses in the community because we didn't want to see our movie theater closed. Equally, we don't want to see the fair and rodeo to stop. And so, but we also recognize that who's running the fair and rodeo, it's people that are becoming too senior to continue to run that. And so if we want to continue to see a fair and rodeo, we need to, we can't just say, well, where are they? We need to begin to develop who the next ones are. They will see how important that a fair and rodeo is, and that'll be part of their vision, is to keep a fair and rodeo together. And that's just some examples I want to give to the council. But I volunteered, Danae has volunteered. If any of you want to be a part of this process, if you want to be part of the one of the focus groups, I think it'd be a good experience for you. You get to hear what other members of the community think. And yeah, so
I'd certainly like to be included, because I'd like to understand where it's, you know, what's happening out there. Where is it going? Why is it not being promoted? Why are the younger kids today not willing to get involved?
Can tell you some of the reasons that we've heard already. We had a youth kickoff meeting a couple weeks ago, and it went fantastic. It went better than I could have imagined. We wanted to give the youth and young adults a safe place to come and speak. We wanted their voices to be heard, not what we wanted them to say, not what we envisioned, but what was specifically going on now. And they want restaurants and they want hotels, and they want to have the ability to provide a sustainable life here if they choose not to go to college. But they're also afraid for their ideas to get rejected. And so I feel like one of our big focuses is to break or figure out how to break that barrier of being able to come forward and speak and share their vision. And even if it's not one that's brought to fruition, but just being able to safely say it out loud, and not feel rejected or, you know, not get an aggressive response. But they shared that day. There was 100 sticky notes of positive things that they saw for this community. I actually was coming in thinking that I was going to hear a lot of negative things, because we always hear things like, oh, I don't want to live in Othello, I want to leave, I want to get out. But that's actually not what they want. It's not what they want. And so them understanding that there's resources and there's support and there's mentors to help get them to the next step. There's a big gap. When I started working with the mayor, I didn't realize how long ago now, a couple decades ago now, I was afraid. How do I do the next thing? What are the options to do the next thing? How do I serve my community? And so I was lucky enough back then that I had a mentor and someone that made me feel supported to get through that learning stage. So I feel like, yes, we're focused on the economic piece of this, and I get it, that's our job here, but that's just one piece of this. The other piece is building leaders, because if you sit in the beautification committee or you go to Rotary or you sit at any banquet, a lot of them are not my age and they're definitely not younger. So how do we fix where we failed to provide them an opportunity to learn how to sit in this seat one day? And that's I think a really big focus for us. It's a big focus for me. So anyway, that's just my take on that. That's my take with the youth. They are excited. We just need to provide resources and a safe place for them.
Okay, well, when I was younger, it was, you know, it was looked upon as a badge of honor to join a club. My uncle was a Shriner, you know, and it made his children want to become, his son to become a Shriner, you know, or you're a member of the Lions, you know, and that gave you a sense of belonging and what you could do for a community. You know, today there just doesn't seem to be, we haven't taught our children that that's a good thing to do. That you should look at that as something positive and good. First of all, it gives you a camaraderie with a lot of other individuals, you know, and you get tuned into things that are going on. You hear things from other individuals that you're in those meetings with that you probably wouldn't hear, period, because you're not interacting with them.
You're not in that group.
So how do we get our kids focused on accepting those kinds of things and getting them involved in it? Now, Othello is a community of 14 churches, and on any Sunday you can probably find 6,000 of the 9,000 people in a church. Why aren't the churches doing something voluntarily, you know, doing something to educate the younger generation?
They are. I mean, you just don't see it. Like our church, we're going to Fine Arts. We do that once a year. Get 15, 20, you know, some people sing, some people create, some people, you know,
well, they we do just got done,
certain instruments.
Just got done saying that there isn't a lot of involvement in organizations and clubs. So as part of the church community, wouldn't you talk to your young members about involvement in the community?
This is, again, we're in the initial phases of the 2-year project, and that is a very
valid point. This has been coming for 10 years.
We're starting now, right? We're starting. We've got to start somewhere.
Set the date. Yes, today.
This is the now. Okay. And in our planning meeting today, because we spent a solid 8 hours together, we are going to reach out to the different church leaders in the community and work collectively together to do this. So we're planning, and it's going to continue to evolve. It's going to continue to change. But this is the initial phase to do all of those things that you're talking about. But it's a 2-year project.
And we really just started, you know, this is just the very beginning. And we already have a high school student who's on the planning team.
Mm-hmm.
She raised her hand. We did do the youth kickoff, if you will, just to, again, give them that space to, and it was so fun to see the sticky notes go up. And at the end, she was just like, I don't even want, I'm like, okay, we don't want to lose that. And she's trying to bring in some of her friends. For that very day. What I would say is what we hope is by the time this 2-year project is done, that there are multiple newly engaged leaders, whether they are high school kids or community members who have never felt included or who just didn't think that they were a leader. There are plenty of people out there who are like, I'm still a loser. But one thing we really tried to build is this engagement team, and that's why community engagement is the very top of the list, is constantly looking at, like, how do we get more people involved? Because what we continue to hear and see, and I will tell you, it's something we see in most communities, is the service groups, the communities, the nonprofits, their volunteer corps is aging out. So we be a solution in developing the community piece of it.
So you're getting together once a month then? You'll be getting together once a month?
The planning team will be getting together once a month. The implementation team gets together once a week to really just help guide things along. And then the advisory team, we anticipate that about once a quarter. And most of these would be over Zoom because we are, Amy's in Eugene, I'm in Moscow, Idaho, Rubio in Dallas, so.
So if we say, for example, if I say I want to be involved, where am I going to go? Implementation, planning, or advisory?
Where are we going? The implementation team is just like that, kind of an outside team. So that's RDI.
Okay.
So the planning team's the one that meets once a month. And that's more of like the day-to-day decision-making, how you get out, you know, strategizing how we get the survey out to people and maybe helping with that. The advisory team is more of like quarterly commitments where we would give a kind of update of where we are, and then you would give feedback and suggestions on if you think the program is going in the right direction. So I would say planning or advisory, whatever you prefer.
I'll join the planning.
Okay, great.
We'd love to have.
We got recruiters here. Is anyone else interested? You want to be on a focus group? You want to be on participator? It's fine if you want to think about it. It's all right. But I'll keep you informed as we go along as to where they are in the process.
I'm interested. I just don't know where I want to go.
Okay. I'll talk to you more.
Yeah.
Later.
Yep.
Find out what the commitment is and what.
Mm-hmm. Well, focus group isn't going to be much, is it?
That would just be one meeting at some point. And I will also say there will be at least one community-wide meeting that will probably take place later this summer or early fall. And that would be, you know, once we get all of the input from the focus groups, we get all of the input from the survey, then we would report all of that out. And then we would probably, you know, at that meeting, break people into different groups and around, you know, focus areas and brainstorm, you know, what are our action steps? You know, where does the community want to, like, what are the next steps? What resources are needed? Just brainstorming around these different areas that have emerged. So that's probably what that meeting will look like. So that's another opportunity to engage.
So Amy and Christine, do you want to introduce the rest of your team?
Yeah. Or why don't you guys stand up? Come on over.
Oh, okay.
introduce yourself, yeah.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for the time. Rubiel Valladares. I'm the bilingual training facilitator. We're doing the Spanish programs as well, and the leadership program as well. I'm doing before.
My name is Marcy Miller, and I'm a co-project manager. I will be in the community. I will also be a point of contact for questions, hearing a lot from you about upcoming events, things like that, being in the community for focus groups, the leadership trainings, things like that. Hopefully we'll be able to come back here and report to you.
Are there any other questions we can answer for tonight?
I know you've given us more time than we anticipated, and I appreciate the really great questions. And we know that, like I said, there was a lot of detailed information here, so it's hard to describe this massive project in little bites, but I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thank you for coming, and thank you for your effort to help us.
Thank you.
Let's now move along to our unfinished business. Do we have any unfinished business, Council? Item 6 is new business. Do we have any new business to come before the Council tonight?
When's the next fire meeting? Should be in March, right?
Yeah, I think you've met in January, so I don't think the next one's till April.
April?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just fueled by the fire department. I was thinking about that today. I was going to ask.
No, it's not till June, isn't it?
It's biannual.
Is it biannually now?
It is.
All right. It is. Got a lot of time. Don't need to worry about it.
I just have one item of new business, and that is regard to the personnel policy. City Council was emailed a copy of the changes that have been reviewed with WCAIA, our insurance carrier, and also Kelly. Those were the recommendations after staff had worked on it for probably a year, going over every section of the personnel policy, and then we had the legal teams review it. Periodically, we have to update it, but we've sent all that out and wondered, we're going to look to adopt. We've got a calendar up here on the screen. Our next meeting is next Monday, the 13th. We could look at adopting it either the 13th or the 27th. What would the council like? We want a couple of weeks to review that. Is next Monday too soon? That's really what I'm looking for direction.
You sent something to us
a week ago.
I came Thursday.
The personnel policy update.
Was it Thursday? Okay.
Yeah, Thursday.
There's a lot of pages there to look through.
Yeah.
I would say the 27th.
Yeah.
Four pages.
We'll put it on the agenda for the 27th. In the meantime, if you have questions.
On Thursday.
If you have questions, you can talk to me, Spencer, or Jackie. Okay. That's all the new business I had.
I didn't get anything from Spencer Thursday.
I think it came from Jackie.
Mine came from Spencer.
It wasn't. Oh, did it come from Spencer?
Here it is. I got it. City of Othello. All right.
Okay. Item 7. Council also received the legislative report of February and also the Planning Commission minutes. And with no further business to come before the City Council, I'll adjourn tonight's meeting.
Okay.